currently Kirkland. Your source for city news and events in the community. With Scott Mullen at the news desk. Stay up to date with weekly news reports on what's happening in Kirkland. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome to Currently Kirkland, the show where every week you can engage with your community by discovering the latest developments in citywide events. I'm Scott Mullet, and for me, the end of summer can be such a downer. But at least I can look forward to the coming color change of Kirkland's tree canopy. That's yellows, oranges, reds, browns, the crisp smell of fallen tree leaves. Ah, the sensations that usher in the new season. And those sensations have become even more robust since 2002, when the City Council began protecting Kirkland's tree canopy. 9 years later, Kirkland has one of the region's most expansive urban forest canopies. Trees shelter 41% of the city, according to a commission report. That's more than Bellevue. That's more than Renton. That's more than Shoreline. And it's as much as Mercer Island. The June 1st annexation of heavily forested Finn Hill boosted Kirkland's overall canopy cover. However, even when the experts measured the canopy of the city's pre-annexation boundaries, they discovered a 5% bump in total cover, going from 31% in 2002 to 36% in 2010. Kirkland's canopy has expanded even while other cities' canopies have contracted. And it's grown as buildings and streets have expanded. This is true in every measurable area, in the city's watersheds, its rights of way, its multifamily and single family zones, as well as in commercial areas. This has all been by design. In its 2002 comprehensive plan, the Kirkland City Council established a citywide goal of 40% tree cover. To reach this goal, the council limited tree removals in construction zones, required landscaping in apartment, condo, and commercial areas, and mandated tree plantings along new streets that provided access to new developments. To learn more, visit kirklandwa.gov and type trees in the search bar. But wait, I'm not done with trees yet. In autumn, fallen leaves provide some of the nutrients that help the next generation grow. But when those leaves fall into the street, they can clog the flow of water into storm drains, causing small-scale floods. Preventing this problem is simple. All it requires is sweeping the obstructing leaves from the storm drains. But the city has more than 12,000 of these drains, and not nearly enough staff to monitor them. This is why Kirkland is asking its citizens to take responsibility for the storm drains in their neighborhoods through its Adopt a Drain program. Last year, the fourth year for the program, over 60 of Kirkland's citizens adopted at least one of the city's drains. Kirkland is hoping to expand that pool of volunteers for the 2011 and 2012 storm season. To learn how to adopt a drain, visit kirklandwa.gov and type Adopt a Drain. Adopting a drain is one of the measures you can take to prepare for the upcoming season of volatile weather. But the city's building department highlights several more. Inspect your furnace. Check for leaks with a candle or lit incense. If a leak is found, plug it. To prepare for windstorms, repair shingles on your roof. Boost insulation. Clean gutters. Put up storm windows. Insulate the water heater. Wrap those pipes. And clean and seal your ducts. To review, visit kirklandwa.gov/kirklandgreen. Last week was the kind of weekend that made you want to curl up with a cup of coffee and a good book, wasn't it? And that's exactly what hundreds, perhaps thousands, of Northwesterners did. For more, we now turn to Erica Sanford.
Hi, I'm Erica Sanford, and we're here in downtown Kirkland at the first annual Northwest Book Fest. In keeping with this year's theme, it is raining books. We'll be carried away by a flood of authors, performers, and book lovers from far and wide. Come on, let's go check it out.
There was something there for all ages. For the kids, story times throughout the day at the Kirkland Library. Music by the Northwest's own Casper Baby Pants, center stage at the Kirkland Performance Center, and a breathtaking display of aerial storytelling presented by the Kabiri. Event organizers Sharon Hara and Deborah Schneider shared their thoughts about the event.
This event is about books, stories, literature, and reading. Last December, I stood out here because I work for the King County Library System, and I looked around this park and these great resources, the library on one side, Kirkland Performance Center, the community center, the teen center, and I had a vision. I said, wouldn't this be a great place to have a book festival? And then I got in contact with Sharon Hara.
And so Deborah and I got together and we started hatching this book festival. These two crazy women who put this together, and it really mushroomed. We have almost 125 celebrity authors. We have 64 workshops going on. We have almost 70 vendors and probably 5 or 6 food vendors.
And 47 panels of authors who are talking about everything from genre fiction to children's fiction, being an illustrator, writing science fiction and fantasy, literary fiction. They're all here, and we built it mostly from local authors. So it's amazing the talent pool of authors and writers that we have in the Pacific Northwest.
The King County Library System, in its efforts to encourage local writers to pursue their dreams, is one of the reasons why the Pacific Northwest attracts writers from around the world to live and work here.
Together at any coffee shop and look around, and the ones tapping away at the computers, probably most of them are local writers.
Another reason, an artist-friendly culture where hundreds of writers' groups meet in cozy coffee shops and living rooms to share and critique their stories.
It's good fun to get together with the local authors and the authors that bring into the community here and kind of compare notes and get caught up on what's going on in the book publishing world. Learn something from the right, learn something from the left as you're on your panels and mix and match the genres and everything else. And it's just great fun to see what other authors are doing.
Thousands of these literary enthusiasts showed up last weekend. It was a chance for up-and-coming writers to rub elbows with hundreds of established authors and publishers representing a wide variety of genres.
Hall 03, which is a classic Starship Generation ship novel, a bit of a romance novel also, as we have been mixing, matching genres here, a little bit of a mystery. Also, Halo Cryptum, the first volume in the origin story for the Halo universe set about 100,000 years ago.
From steampunk and urban fantasy to imaginary worlds just for teens. Author panelists were informative and entertaining as they spoke to rooms packed with fellow writers and fans.
So I tried to create, with this, that's Oliver, he's like a 14-year-old little vampire kid. I tried to create a completely gray character. Like he's not evil, he has no soul, but he's not evil yet, and he's like just trying to figure out who he's going to be, and he has all these expectations coming down from him, and that's what I wanted to explore in the book, because I feel like it felt like a good, you know, spot that teens get in. It's like, well, what am I? You know, what am I going to be? It's funny, they came out in 2008, and at the time, the book fair, there's book clubs with Scholastic, those are the newspaper print things you get, and it's like, buy these books. And then there's the book fair that sets up in your school, and book fairs was like, well, we can't take that book because it has vampires. Vampires are dangerous. I was like, bummer, you know, and then that completely changed. Like a year later, they were like, vampires! Like, yeah, and it's like vampires everywhere.
There were also over 40 workshops where writers learned about the finer details of their craft, how to market their creations, and how to build an audience for their work. In between workshops, you could grab a bite to eat and peruse the nearly 100 exhibitor booths. Authors, publishers, printers, book clubs, writers' networks, and many more brave the rain to show off their latest offerings.
This is my very first book signing, so I didn't know what to expect, and I'm excited to meet the authors. I read a lot of their books, and it's great to meet the person that actually writes them.
There's just so many books to choose from.
Yeah, and we had no idea what to expect. It's a great new thing to explore.
I love going to bookstores. I like the feel of them. I like the smell of the paper. And meeting the authors is just absolutely cherry on the top of a sundae. You know, it's just, I'm loving it.
Because of this diversity, the event was uniquely attractive to the many writers and book fans in attendance. Meetups at local coffee shops to relax and debrief were the order of the day that weekend in Kirkland. With only a few hours to visit Bookfest this year, we left wishing we had more time to take it all in.
We want it to be the best event for everyone who comes, and we still want to include all the genres of various books, and we also want to include family programs and programs for children and teens. That's all important.
Maybe next year we can discover even more. Erica Sanford for Currently Kirkland.
Thanks for that story, Erica. Hope you picked up a good book for me. Earlier this month, 15,000 Kirkland residents received a letter from the North Shore Utility District. That's the water and sewer district that serves the city's northernmost residents. One figure in that letter stuck out, 12.86. 12.86% is based on the franchise fee North Shore Utility District is passing on to its customers for their right to use city property in order to access its own pipes and conduits. And it is an increase from the 10.5% North Shore was charging earlier this year. These rate increases have evoked questions, and many of those questions are aimed at understanding the relationship between the City of Kirkland and the North Shore Utility District. To understand that, Kirkland residents will first need to understand the significance of another number, $3.21. $3.21 per lineal foot is the franchise fee North Shore Utility District agreed to pay the city for the right to access and maintain the pipes and conduits it built on the city's land. The franchise fee also compensates Kirkland for the utility tax revenue the city cannot collect from those 15,000 customers, but which all other city utility customers pay. All told, this equals $2.1 million, or as North Shore Utility figured it, 12.86% of any water and sewer utility bill. The city uses this money to help pay for some of Kirkland's most fundamental services, police, parks, paved roads, to name a few. What the city does not get from the agreement is additional water and sewer utility taxes from North Shore Utility District customers. Those customers pay no water and sewer utility taxes to Kirkland. This $3.21 per lineal foot franchise fee has not changed since 2008 when the two agencies agreed on the number. It did not change in 2009 when the city increased its utility tax from 7.5% to 10.5%. And it did not change in 2010 when the city had to increase its own water utility tax to 13.38% in order to pay for increasing costs of fire protection. What did change was the number of lineal feet in North Shore's district. The annexation of Finn Hill, Kingsgate, and North Juanita significantly increased the lineal footage of city property North Shore used. And as North Shore has transitioned to a much larger Kirkland, its calculations have changed.
Hi, I'm Kurt Triplett, the Kirkland City Manager. We want to understand that many of you have never paid the franchise fee before, and so there's a lot of questions in our new neighborhoods from Juanita, Finn Hill, and Kingsgate. And we definitely encourage you to contact City Hall to have any of your questions answered. But in the meantime, I'd like to address three points very quickly. First, Kirkland has not raised this franchise fee after annexation. This franchise fee amount has been in place since 2008. What has happened is it is now applied to more households. Second, the amount that you're paying is entirely consistent with the information that was presented by Kirkland City staff in all pre-annexation public hearings. It is also consistent with the information that we sent you in the brochure that was mailed to all new residents after annexation. And finally, what I want to emphasize is even though the percentage of the franchise fee paid in the new neighborhoods might be higher than the percentage of the utility tax paid in the old neighborhoods, a resident in the new neighborhoods will still be paying less per month than those in the old neighborhoods. Residents in Finn Hill, Kingsgate, and Juanita will be paying an average of $10 a month in the franchise fee, whereas folks in the former Kirkland are still paying a little over $11 a month in the utility tax. But I want to emphasize that all of these revenues are used to deliver the services you expect from the City of Kirkland to your neighborhoods. They're completely reinvested in the new neighborhoods in police and fire and parks services. So please, we encourage you, come on down to City Hall, call us or email us, and we'd be more than happy to answer questions on this or any other topic. Thank you.
Well, after all that math and numbers, it's a wrap for this week. Any episode of Currently Kirkland can be accessed on demand from the city's website, mobile devices, or YouTube. Drop us a note with any news tips, suggestions, or comments too, KirklandTV at kirklandwa.gov. Thanks for watching. Check us out next week.